This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Forged in newly independent Jamaica in the early 1960s, absorbing traditional Caribbean rhythms like mento and calypso, taking in the melodies, the structures and the instrumentation of American rhythm and blues, adding gospel vocals, absorbing the African drumming styles of the Rasta Brethren, finding the one-drop rhythm and pushing the glorious offbeat high into the mix. Ska found its dancing feet at the sound system parties in Jamaica. Ska launched local and international careers for Bob Marley, Jimmy Cliff, Desmond Dekker and so many others. Ska took the boat to Ingoland, where the Blue Beat Records got played at Jabin house parties for West Indian immigrants. Ska was taken on by the English mods as their party music of choice. Ska, championed by Trojan Records, birthing the spirit of 69 as skinheads, football fans and Afro-Caribbean youth found common ground in the dance hall. Ska changing into rocksteady, into reggae, into lovers rock and so many more styles. Ska, the first great revival music, absorbing punk rock, reborn in the two-tone era. Ska taking flight in America as the third wave. Ska, 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 kept alive in Ireland by bands like Trenchtown, the Frère Jacquemans, Gangsters, kept alive in Ireland by DJs, by fans, radio presenters and promoters. Ska in Ireland in 2019, a golden age of ska in Ireland, of festivals, of bands, of radio shows, of touring bands like the Wailers, the Scatolites, Madness, the Beat, the Selector and the Specials, all playing big shows in Ireland in 2019. Ska, 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 what's the ska? This is the ska. I'm Aina Dowling. I've been playing ska since the early 1990s, and over the course of this six-part documentary, I'm going to explore ska all over Ireland. We're going to meet some of the country's ska bands. We'll find out what ska means to people. We're going to check out the look and get the energy and joy of a thriving music scene.
This is ska.
Yes, this is ska. But what is it about ska music? Why do people love it? DJ Ian Fiasco has a very simple answer.
It makes me happy. Ska really, it makes me happy. I can't help not be happy listening to ska. I think that's the main thing. That's what keeps bringing me back. That's what keeps me going, oh yeah, yeah, let's listen to some more of that. I want to try something, get a new compilation or, you know, hunt for some more singles or whatever. And it's the fact that it always makes me smile that keeps bringing me back to it, and how I don't get tired of listening to it all the time.
Ali Goggins was featured in the RTE documentary My Tribe, and she shared her thoughts with me about why she loves ska.
I've always liked reggae. I've always been a big fan of reggae. And I suppose for a long time, I just never even heard ska, or I never even knew that ska existed. So when I first heard it, I suppose it was like my love for reggae and 10 times more combined. I just fell in love with it the minute that I heard it. I like it because the beat of it just kind of like fills you almost. When you go out and you hear it, it's just a really nice song to kind of bop along to. There's so many different artists that bring out so many different types of music and different types of rhythms. You've got such a choice of what you would like to listen to.
Two saxophone players, Vincent Foley from The Service and Clive Baker, formerly with Synergy, talked with me about the energy and the dancing.
You see, the thing about ska is, and you know yourself, Anna, from playing gigs, you don't have to take it that serious to enjoy it. I mean, it really does go beyond a certain generation. Obviously, you know, you're going to have a certain group of people come to our gigs normally, you know, balding men in their 50s, and that's just their you know, they're the good looking ones.
Yeah.
But like, it's very catchy. I mean, I've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they'll hear the songs in the car, and yeah, they'll be said, "Dad, put something else on." But you know, they will enjoy it. I think it's the rhythm. I think it's so infectious, you can't but not move to it, no matter what age you are.
It's good for that, obviously, like, you know, and for dancing.
Yeah.
You can't beat it for dancing.
And I think it's the only music that you'll get grown men to go dancing to
as
well.
Yeah.
And of course, the gag in our band is that we need to get a defibrillator, because one of these days, one of them old boys is just going to dance too hard.
And that's just the band.
That's just the band. Owen Kavanagh is the promoter for the Tremor International Ska Festival and also an accomplished musician.
It's the energy, it's the fun, it's the, you know, that click when you're in just a three-piece even. Sometimes when you're doing it, you know, with the bass player, the drummer locked in and playing on the end. And just it's just the energy that the music gives. Same with reggae. I love reggae music. Anyone who listens to ska music, you can't help but move. Like, even if you're not interested in music, you'll get that little hook that's in there. You'll get that, you know, you'll be like ducking or, you know, going in and out, like everyone, you know. And even if you don't know music, it brings out a reaction in people that I think. It's infectious, like from little kids to like old grannies and nannies. They seem to love it, like.
I'm very interested in the story of how the ska music of Jamaica came to Ireland via the West Indian migration to the United Kingdom. And everyone I talk to has their own version of the story. I was joined in the Community Radio Yall studio by Michael Hussey. He took photographs of the Specials and the Beat when they played in the Arcadia in Cork City in 1981. And I was joined also by Brian Desmond, the Rude Boy, who appeared on the My Tribe series on television. Michael Hussey's observation rings true.
If you're talking about ska and getting access to it, you're talking about Top of the Pops. You know what I mean?
Top of the Pops. Did you watch Top of the Pops every week?
Brian Desmond, did you watch Top of the Pops every week?
Top of the Pops was a religion. It was like Mass on a Sunday. You could not miss Top of the Pops Thursday, 7 o'clock every week.
Joe Behan has presented Ska Patrol on Near FM for the last 20 years. Joe gave me the Dublin experience.
Well, it's from the days of when I was a teenager. A young teenager, because you thought in 79 when you were fortunate enough, obviously, to have be able to view Top of the Pops and such. And you were seeing like the Specials live with Gangsters and Madness of the Prince, all the ones who were coming out on the two-tone label. And then away from that was Bob Manners as well, who went on the Tattoo Tone label. They were all appearing on Top of the Pops, and then the style came over this way. And everywhere was selling the Harrington jackets, Crombies, Doc Martens, loafers, and all the usual stuff, the Fred Perry's and all. Yeah, so got into it then.
Derek Dalton, the only skin in Listowel, told me about the music that fired him up as a young lad.
The first time I got into it would have been 1980. I was 10 years of age. My older brother Mike came home with an album. It was a compilation album of the songs that were big at the time, and there was three songs on that album. It was called Chart Explosion. Three songs on it: Baggy Trousers, Special Brew, Gino, Dixie's Made and Runners. These three songs fucking blew me out of the water, like, and I kind of progressed in, like, you know, obviously with Top of the Pops, Madness were on Top of the Pops, then I seen the Specials on Top of the Pops, the Selector, the Beat, I seen the Jam. This thing was, like, at 10 years of age, this thing captivated me, like, do you know, at a young age, like, do you know, and I just, all of a sudden, I was inside in shops, I was buying badges, I was buying patches, I was buying the records, Madness records, the Specials.
Too much, too young, you're done too much. Too young. You're married with a kid when you could be having fun with
the first single I actually bought was the Too Much Too Young EP with the Specials in 1980. That was my first one.
The first EP.
I just got totally submerged in that whole two-tone thing. It started in 78, 79, but I was still a little bit very young, but at 10 years of age, I said, geez, that was young even to get into something. But by the time I was 11 and 12, like, I had just everything taken in with the whole two-tone thing. It was two-tone, everything, like, was the body snatch, the dance craze in. Yeah. It was the big album that came out in the video and that documentary.
Yeah.
I got my hands on that, didn't I? And,
did you have the video, the VHS?
I got the VHS video, yeah, of that.
Did you wear it out playing over and over again?
Jesus. I think I broke it. I had to get my mother's nail varnish and stick it back together and let it heal overnight and put it back again. I think in the middle of Woolly Bully by Bad Manners, there's about a 10-second miss of the song, like a big jump, like, but that never bothered me. Like,
Denise, Skatuesque D, recalls her childhood in ska.
Oh, I was only a nipper. I was only a little ween, and my brother Alan was a punk, but then he generated to skin. And my sister Donna was a root girl, totally. And I remember, like, being in the house and I hear this music coming from my brother's and sister's room and stuff like that. And, you know, it was the usual, like, don't go into my room. So I used to wait until they left the house and I'd go in and I'd, like, go through their tapes and their records and stuff. And I found the Specials. And I remember putting this on and I heard Do the Dog and I heard Ghost Town and Rat Race and all this kind of stuff. And I was only small. I think I was about like 6 or 7. And I couldn't believe the sound I was hearing. I used to go and, like, put on my brother's Docks when he wasn't around and this bomber and everything. And yeah, so it was from very small that I was affected from this music. And when I heard it, I just couldn't believe it. I just wanted more. It was just that sound, that beat, and it was just phenomenal.
Ian Walsh plays drums with Pontius Pilate and the Nail Drivers. He identified Irish people coming and going to England as a key source of the music.
My first beer was in the Dublin Castle in Camden when I was 15. Again, my uncle would have been in bands here in the late 70s, 80s. They would have been over and back to London, so they would have been, you know, bringing back new music. You know, reggae was a big thing in Cork in the early 80s, yeah, because it was new. It was moderately new to London.
Yeah.
So whatever they were getting, we were getting not long afterwards. And especially the fact that a lot of Irish people were going over and back, yeah, there was a great, you know, record trading, and, you know, guys would come back showing off, I got this record, what do you think of that, and, you know,
and the whole taping phenomenon,
taping thing, yeah, and I suppose that's when, you know, the music that was in England would have picked up here, like, you know, so
Kieran, the lead singer with the Clandestinos, had his reggae and ska epiphany on the dance floor with a live band playing. And bless me, there I was on the stage at the time, not knowing what the Galway crew would inspire.
I know you're referring to the 90s, which is when I saw you originally in playing with Two Tug Pass. It was a great reggae scene in Galway back then, and that's what turned me on to reggae. Like, I always was aware of it a bit growing up, and, you know, had a respect for it, but never really liked it. And it was when I saw reggae live for the first time with yourselves and Big Bag of Sticks playing, I think, The Warwick. Yes.
And can you remember that night when you saw Two Tug Pass and the Big Bag of Sticks?
I remember clearly. You had a massive spiral painted all over your body, so you had... and there was another band, the African Violets, too. I remember I really liked them as well. And it was just seeing these bands play live, and remember being dragged out on the floor at that time in the Warwick, and it was a bit awkward at first, you know, dancing like a lad who'd never danced anything groovy before in his life, you know. And after a few minutes, I suddenly kind of got the kind of bending at the knees and the swing of the hips, and I was like, oh my god, I'm getting this music, like. And I didn't leave the floor the whole night. There was just three bands on, and I, you know, didn't even go to the bar, just was on the floor dancing my ass off. Just the start of my love affair with reggae and ska then, you know, that's started buying albums and investigating and getting to know the genre better and better, you know.
There are many great ska bands playing in Ireland at the moment, and What's the Ska is going to feature a band in each of the six episodes. First up is Punches, Pilot and the Nail Drivers. They've been playing ska in and out of Cork City for 20 years now. I caught up with founding member and drummer Ian Walsh in the lounge at the Crane Lane Theatre.
When we met, we used to drive each other crazy. Now we drive each other mad. I guess we've become lazy.
We like love ska, Specials, Beat, Madness were the bands really. But we were often saying, wouldn't this be great to do a two-hour set of this music?
But I can't take this anymore. Shut up, you're driving me to distraction.
Start of 99, I kind of got in touch with Mickey and the kids. And do you remember we were talking about putting that ska band together? So then, with somebody new, Sean McDonald, and he said, yeah, I know this guy from Dundalk, he's into all that kind of stuff. He can't get into bands because he's very quirky, very unusual. And we said, oh, yeah, we'll meet, exactly, that's exactly what we wanted. So we met up with him, and musically, he was exactly what we wanted. He loved that music, he lived for it. He grew up listening to it, more so than me, because he was in between generations of me and the lads. When we started, we were four guys. I think our first gig, we were five piece. With no brass. Sean used to actually mimic the trumpet sounds, you know, and it was hilarious. Again, didn't take ourselves seriously. But again, it was, you know, a message to Rudy, you know, the trombone part. He actually had a paper trumpet, and he used to pull it out and go, you know, joking. Like.
We'd always be there was a fairly big assumption. There's only so much we can take of each.
In fairness, Punches, Pilot and the Nail Drivers is one of the great rock and roll band names. Sometimes it attracts the wrong kind of attention.
You've seen us wearing t-shirts and whatever. And like, I was stopped yesterday on the street saying, I love that band name. And so, you know, we and this is the thing, we hit a bit of flack this year because of the name. From a few anti-religious groups.
That must have been a bit of a surprise because you've been carrying the name for 20 years.
Well, no, we've had it a good bit over the years, but it comes in bursts. But we just found, at the time, we just thought it was hilarious. We found a name to be absolutely, a sense of humour. You know, and that's what it is. We're not anti-religious. I think we literally just have a sense of humour. We're not anti this or anti that. We're about playing good music and having a laugh, and the name is catchy, it's funny, and people love the humour in it. There's no message in the name, it's just a bit of a laugh, that's all. We always tinkered around with songs over the last 10 years, but the last 3 or 4 years we started writing stuff on it. And
yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because primarily you're playing tributes to music. Yeah. You're playing your
ska and punk.
You're doing it your own way, but you're not going too far from the direction.
Yeah, we do. We definitely need to put our own twist on it, yeah.
So the majority of the set is your ska classics, or your two-tone classics. A bit of reggae, a bit of Jamaican.
A bit of reggae,
a bit of punk.
Yeah. A bit of
upbeat
punk.
The Hoist Boys and yourself bring metal in there too.
And definitely, we bring that, because we're all metal guys, as well as me being a big ska guy. But I think the energy that the Nail Rivers would bring would definitely be Motorhead.
Yeah.
Motorhead meets the Specials. That's all I'd like to describe the Nail Rivers as. We're all afraid that we'll miss something. And for the sake of it, well, that's what we pretend. You know that I'm I suppose 2 years ago then we kind of started building up accumulation of songs, and we were doing our set list for C sessions in we're played up in Donegal Saturday night. So we were doing our set list the other night, and we're doing another half set, and we counted up 12 of our own songs out of 30. So it's great. So
it's a smile on your face when you say that.
I do, yeah, absolutely. And you know what?
That's a full album for the tunes.
The Ska Ambassador has seen the Nail Drivers live on many occasions.
Can you describe a Nail Drivers gig?
Oh, it changed. They started out as a quotation marks. It's a cover version, a cover band, right? Yeah, that was the first ska band I ever saw in Cork. And I loved the punk bits, like the Clash and stuff, just as much as the ska bits, so I was really happy.
A high energy gig. Very high energy.
Yes, I was dancing the whole time. Yeah. I always do, but and it was really nice. By now they changed because they have their own material, and I love original material. I think bands should do this. They're really good at it, and they also added a bit of brass. Back then they only had one saxophone player, and I think it's great for a ska band to have more brass.
I think it was 2009 when the Specials did the reunion tour. I went to see them in the Olympia and absolutely blew me away, and we were always trying to improve on what we had. And I think after that really, and I think the next year we all saw them in the Marquee in Cork, and I just said, oh, we have to get a brass section. It was unreal. Then we got to do some stuff with Christian Best, and that's the EP that we released back in March, A Song About.
Yeah, so Pontius Pilate and the Nail Drivers, A Song About, a 4-track EP released in March 2019. A couple of years in the making, though. A
couple of years, 2 years in the making. Pork belly's human race. Do the people really care? Being dragged from here to there. We want to say something properly, and we want people to hear that we put a bit of time into the music. It's, you know, we're very proud of it, you know. That's the bottom line, really. One step beyond.
Each episode of What's the Ska closes with a contributor picking one of the great ska records. Derek Dalton from Listowel gets the first pick.
I think to me it would have to be One Step Beyond. It is like with the intro of Chaz talking, and it just kicks in then. It's like all of a sudden some fella's talking, and the next minute you just have to jump up and dance to it. And if you don't dance to that, it's uniquely my favourite ska song of all time anyway, as regards what came from the two-tone. Like, there's Nightboat to Cairo, there's all of them songs, but that's the song to me is One Step Beyond.
And it's a funny tune because it's practically an instrumental.
It is, yeah. That's all. Like, that's the thing. It's just get up your ass and dance song. Like, you know, get out there and dance, you know. And, like, obviously, it was Prince Buster originally had the original, like, but what Madness did with it was, like, they just polished it up, and it is the song, like, yeah.
One Step Beyond.
One Step Beyond for me, anyway. Hey, you! Don't watch that! Watch this! This is the heavy, heavy monster sound. The nuttiest sound around. So if you're coming off the street and you're beginning to feel the heat, well, listen, Buster, you better start
to move your feet to the rockin'est rock steady beat of madness. One step beyond.
In the next episode of What's the Ska, we are going back to the roots, back to the early days of ska in Jamaica, and we'll meet Interscalactic, an Irish band that draws inspiration from the Jamaican big band sound of the Skatalites. What's the Ska was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Written, produced, edited and presented by Anna Dowling. A Community Radio Y'all production. Everybody can do the ska. It's a new dance, you can't resist it.